Now, so far this year, there have been 6 confirmed deaths and roughly 380 confirmed cases of lung illnesses associated with vaping, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Many of the illnesses appear to be linked to bootleg vaping products, many containing THC. E-cigarettes use flavored liquid cartridges and a battery to create steam instead of traditional cigarettes. They've been popular among adults and even teenagers. The deaths and illnesses associated with vaping raised alarms for the general public, but how big of a threat is it compared to average tobacco usage? Our next guest joins us to talk about ongoing research into tobacco use and how vaping fits into the field. Dr. Michael Fiore is the director of the University of Wisconsin Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Dr. Fiore, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy to be back.
Well, you've been following tobacco and smoking-related issues for a long time. What do you make of these acute illnesses and even deaths related, apparently, to e-cigarette use?
Well, first of all, we need to take the report seriously, and I look forward to chatting with you about it. I want to start, though, by emphasizing that, as you mentioned just a few moments ago, here's what we can't lose sight of. In Wisconsin today, 19 individuals will die of a disease directly caused by smoking cigarettes. This year in Wisconsin, 7,000 of our residents will be killed. Nationwide, 500,000 Americans will be killed from smoking. So we need to, as you said, recognize this potential new risk related with bootlegged vaping products. But we can't lose sight of what is the leading preventable cause of illness and death in our state and nationwide, and that is cigarette smoking and the lighting of tobacco, which generates 7,000 separate chemicals, 50 of which are carcinogens. And it's because of that that day in and day out, I see individuals and their families who are struck down by tobacco use.
Right. And why we in the media, I'll say, have paid a lot of attention to this vaping, this bootleg vaping and illness story. Is it because it's something that's newer? It's a newer technology. And those deaths you mentioned, the regular death toll from regular tobacco has just kind of faded as background noise for us?
Well, that's one of my concerns and why I need to highlight it, as well as the fact that, you know, one really tragic outcome of this is if someone who is an adult who has successfully quit smoking using not bootlegged vaping products, but commercial vaping products, which while not safe, appear to be safer than cigarettes, that if someone would turn from using those products back to smoking, it would really be a tragedy. But that you know, with all that said, we need to take the report seriously. And I think the way to do that might be as simple as this. Think about it as it relates to kids, and think about it as it relates to adults. Let's talk about kids. No kid should use any tobacco product, including any e-cigarette product. Pure and simple, don't use it. And it's not just because of the potential that the product is bootlegged, but rather because we know that if an adolescent is exposed to nicotine in any form, it permanently changes his or her brain and puts them at higher risk for progressing up to using cigarettes. So we want none of the kids in Wisconsin or nationwide to be using e-cigarettes, smokeless tobacco products, or regular cigarettes. They're deadly, and we don't want them to be using it. That's different, though, than the message we give to adults, which is that you need to take these reports seriously. But at least at this early point, when all of the evidence is not complete, it appears that much of the risk has been from bootleg products, including some of those potentially who came from Bristol, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Where we've seen that was one of the sites that potentially these bootleg products were being produced.
Is it hard to sell a public health message when you've got kind of two different angles, as you're just saying? If you're a young person e-cigarettes, don't start vaping. Don't do it at all. If you're a current adult pack-a-day smoker, probably you're better off vaping than smoking. Does it get tricky to sort that out for the public?
What a question. And I think a lot of that nuance has been lost. But here's a really important message for adult smokers in our state. We have a variety of approved treatments to help you to quit. For example, anyone in our state can call the number 1-800-QUIT-NOW for free counseling support, as well as a two-week supply of FDA-approved nicotine medicine mailed to your home, nicotine patches, gum, or lozenge. We also have at www.smokefree.gov the National Cancer Institute's web-based program to help you to quit. It's a text program, and a lot of people have found it incredibly useful. And finally, there are 7 medications that have been approved by the FDA as safe and effective to help people quit smoking. Medicines that you use typically for anywhere from 2 to 6 months as a bridge from deadly cigarettes to using medicine to using neither. And we know that those products are available. You can get them either over the counter or through your doctor. It's a great time to quit. So for all of those people out in Wisconsin who are addicted to cigarettes, the bulk of the people in our state, you have options apart from e-cigarettes or particularly bootleg cigarettes to help you to quit.
Talking to Dr. Michael Fiore, director of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention, talking about long-term smoking trends and health impacts and what to make of the latest news when it comes to e-cigarettes and vaping. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had about a 20-year addiction to tobacco, and what struck me as most difficult was that when the gum came out, I tried to use the gum to quit and found that I had only switched myself from one addiction to another one. It took taking bupropion for 2 months to stop my nicotine addiction. The question I have is for the vaping, if they were really serious about using it as an alternative to nicotine with the idea of quitting, why are they adding good flavors to it? Why make bubblegum vaping? Because doesn't that seem to be defeating the whole point? And shouldn't we be concentrating on other things than a nicotine replacement as a means to quit nicotine addiction?
Charlie, thank you very much. Thanks a lot for the call. Congratulations on quitting yourself. Dr. Fiore, let's start with that the flavored e-cigarette products, coming back to an argument that people used to be having over flavored cigarettes, for that matter.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, I just want to also commend you for quitting and sticking with it. So here's what we know. If you light a cigarette and take a puff of that cigarette smoke, you're ingesting into your lungs and ultimately into your body more than 7,000 different chemicals. And 50 of those chemicals cause cancer, benzene, for example. It also includes carbon monoxide, which is incredibly deadly in high levels. So when a person uses a nicotine medicine like the nicotine gum that Charlie used, the idea there is to go from 7,000 chemicals to one. The one, unfortunately, is addictive, but it is not one that causes heart attacks or strokes or COPD or cancer. The goal with these medicines is not to take them for the rest of your life, but to use them for ideally a small amount of time to serve as a bridge from deadly cigarettes to neither. But if, in fact, you have to use a little bit of nicotine for the rest of your life even, it's not the goal, but it's much safer than lighting a cigarette or two or a pack a day. Because it's a single medicinal product. Now, about flavors, when I see flavors like mango and bubble gum and the rest of them, What that says to me is that they're appealing to young people, and it's frankly despicable that the companies that are producing these products are producing them in a way that appears to be appealing to young people. Because, again, there's a different set of messages for young people. No e-cigarettes, no regular cigarettes, no smokeless tobacco products. Pure and simple, we don't want to expose adolescent brains to these products. And for many people who are adults, using a flavorant like menthol or mint, if they choose to use e-cigarettes to quit, is similar to the flavors they get from cigarettes and helps them to transition. With that says, we don't have compelling evidence yet that e-cigarettes help adults to quit. There's some suggestive evidence, but not conclusive evidence. So I'm with you, Charlie. I don't think we should have any flavorants in any of these products, regular cigarettes or e-cigarettes, because the ultimate goal here in Wisconsin and across the nation is a simple one. Let's get all tobacco out of our lives.
Talking to Dr. Michael Fiore right now, director of the University of Wisconsin Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. He's with us to talk about ongoing research into tobacco uses and to vaping and e-cigarettes as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Call in with your questions for Dr. Fiore, maybe your own experiences quitting smoking, using e-cigarettes. Are you worried about what you're seeing in the news about health risks of what appear to be predominantly bootleg e-cigarette products? If you're a parent, what do you tell your kid, your teenager, when it comes to tobacco and e-cigarettes? Call 800-642-1234. If you're a teen, love to hear from you. What are you seeing maybe at the new school year? 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about some illnesses and deaths related to vaping and how it fits into broader research into tobacco usage. Our guest says don't lose sight of the continuing health damage caused by smoking of old-fashioned tobacco products, cigarettes, cigars, and more. Dr. Michael Fiore is with us, director of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your thoughts, maybe your experiences trying to quit, successfully quitting, still working on it, 800-642-1234. We'll bring on another caller now. Amanda joins us. Amanda, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Amanda?
So I have a few friends in college who I know have used bootleg THC cartridges. And the thing is that because marijuana isn't decriminalized in Wisconsin, people who know things and have information on these bootleg products are not going to come forward because that jeopardizes their own security and they could possibly get in trouble. I think that right now, if marijuana was decriminalized, we would have a lot more people coming forward and talking about what's going on and how these products are being made. But because it's not decriminalized, it's just not going to happen.
Amanda, thanks for the call. Dr. Fiore, you mentioned that operation in Bristol, Wisconsin. They were selling these bootleg THC vaping cartridges, and that seems like a big part of this story.
Without a question. Among the 300 or so reported illnesses, the acute lung injuries that we've seen with these e-cigarettes, many of them, not 100%, but many of them, more than 80%, are associated with bootleg products. And remember, an electronic delivery device is a mechanism to heat up products so that they can be ingested into the lung. And that's important to know because it's not just tobacco that's put in these products, but other chemicals, other illicit drugs, and in particular, marijuana products. And many of the products that we've seen used have been THC and marijuana-related additives rather than the sorts of things that you would buy in a store. You're right, Amanda, that it's possible, at least, that even among those that weren't associated with THC use, that many of these young people may have used such products and don't want to report it because it would have legal implications for them. Here's the key message, though, for everyone. Don't buy anything off the street and ingest it into your lungs. We do know that some people have been very seriously damaged. It makes no sense. Stay away from it. Protect your lungs. We only have two of them, and once they're gone for good.
Thanks a lot for that call, Amanda. We'll go now to Rollin in Adams. Rollin, hi.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to make bring it to the table that we're having two very separate conversations in what vaping and regulations and why adults put flavoring into their vaporizers, and then at the same time, the stories that we hear that bring us to the table now is that people are getting sick and hurt from it. And in my experience, every time I've seen a news story of anyone getting hospitalized or hurt from it, it generally leads towards the THC and the marijuana distillate aspect. I don't see much crossover from the actual nicotine vaping. And this is something that I'm concerned about just because I spent 4 years managing a vapor shop. And so I've got a really good insight as to how and why people use a vaporizer to then quit smoking, why they use bubble gum and cotton candy, why they use peppermint. So I see two different conversations, and I just want to try to see if we can connect these.
Rollin, thanks for the call. And yeah, it's been a little tricky, Dr. Fury, to sort out a few different threads here.
Yeah. Well, Rollin, I just want to thank you for calling. As an individual who has managed a vape shop, you have an incredible amount of personal experience, and you bring to the table some of the really nuance of this challenge. So, again, what's the message that we should give everyone in Wisconsin? Don't buy products off the street that are at risk of damaging your lungs. In particular, there is recommendations not to use any of these products with additives like THC, like marijuana, like some of the other compounds that have been found in them. Pure and simple, don't use it. It is, as Rollin says, a totally different ball game for adult chronic cigarette smokers who are trying to quit. As a physician who works to help people quit and have done that for my entire professional life, I turn people in the direction of treatments that I know have been approved as safe and effective by the FDA. There are 7 medications that fall under that category. We also have recommended by the Public Health Service calling the Wisconsin Tobacco Quitline at 1-800-QUIT-NOW and accessing www.smokefree.gov for the National Cancer Institute support. Those are resources that can be highly effective for every smoker, and I would urge smokers in Wisconsin to look at them first.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more caller. Dan is with us in Altoona. Dan, hi.
Hi, yes. I'm a superintendent for the school district of Altoona, and I just want to say thank you very much for bringing some of this research to light here as schools all over the state and certainly in West Central Wisconsin look to really adapt to this as we're starting to see this become increasingly prevalent in students most dramatically in the last 3 years. One of the things that we notice most that is critical is the behavior effects that happen. Not so much that the nicotine is modifying the behavior, but that the addiction is so strong that it causes irritability and a need to have that drug in that moment, which causes students to be irrational at times and make some silly mistakes along the way. So I think sometimes that's an oversight. We think so much about the addictive qualities and what that could lead to into adulthood, but it's got a profound impact on the education and then therefore behavior as well. So thank you very much.
Dan, thanks so much for the call. Dr. Fury, just a minute or so left.
Yeah, real quick comment. First, Dan, thank you so much for calling, representing what's happening in schools. 20% of high school seniors report they've used e-cigarettes in the last month, most of them using a product called Juul. Many of them are addicted. They're reaching out for help. You can go online to something called the Truth Initiative, T-R-U-T-H Initiative, and they have a text program for adolescents to help them quit Juul and other e-cigarette devices. This is a growing problem among young people. And as said at the beginning, with kids, you should be using no tobacco products, whether it be e-cigarettes, regular cigarettes, or smokeless. Take advantage of the resources out there. And the Truth Initiative, a nonprofit, is one excellent one.
Thanks so much for that call. And just a quick reminder, Dr. Fury, the quit line is 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Is that right?
That is correct. And other resources for adults, smokefree.gov. And then the Truth Initiative is the third for adolescents.
Thanks so much for joining us today. That's Dr. Michael Fiore, director of the University of Wisconsin Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. He joins today to talk about smoking trends around the country, as well as incidents involving vaping and bootleg products, and what researchers are learning from ongoing studies of tobacco use.